The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Please be seated. Okay, I have a job.
The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 65 responsively. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Whenever I read this parable, I can't not think about the preaching class that I had while I was in seminary. It was called Preaching the Parables, and the professor encouraged us to get creative in our presentations each week as we were given different parables to prepare a sermon about. And the reason I remember this so clearly is that my friend Heidi was given this passage to preach on, and she indeed took that word from the professor to be creative, and she came into the classroom. We weren't in a chapel. We were just in a regular classroom, but preaching as if we were preaching in front of a congregation on a Sunday. And she had attached on her waist like a sewer's bag. And as she preached the sermon, she was flinging bird seed all the time through the whole sermon. So like 25 minutes worth of flinging bird seed. We had piles of it. The professor was not favorably impressed. He was just pushing it off of the papers as it landed on his notes that he was trying to scribble. And the rest of us spent most of the time picking out bird seed out of our hair. You know, that's one of the problems with parables. Sometimes we remember the illustration and we miss the point. Let anyone with ears listen. I'm starting my sabbatical this week, so I won't be here to listen to what Vicar Joshua is going to do with all of the parables that we will be hearing from Matthew's gospel through the rest of the summer and into the early fall. I love parables, though. There's something about them that is so intriguing to me. The story that's so clear, and yet there's a twist. There's always a twist in it that causes us to think in new ways. You know, parables aren't so much a lesson to be studied and to be interpreted as they are stories to be lived and experienced. The parables of Jesus have the power to touch each of us as we open our ears to hear of our own life experience. There was an artist putting up his art in a gallery, and he was asked by one of the visitors to explain this abstract piece that he had hung up, and he refused. No title, no explanation. He said, if I tell you what it means to me, that's the only thing you'll ever see in that painting. If it's left untitled and unexplained, then every person would be able to make it meaningful to them by what they would see. Different people, or even the same person at different times, would be able to see something different in it, like parables. If we can get past reading this parable as a measuring stick for the good, the thorny, and the rocky, we might be able to be surprised by a great story of grace, a story about love in abundance. Let anyone with ears listen. This story is about more than seeds and about more than qualities of soil. It's about a sower who showers every variety of soil with the same seed, thrown with abundance and great abandon, regardless of the soil's ability to produce fruit. God casts seeds into our lives, and that seed is intended to land on good soil and to produce abundant fruit. But even the most careful farmer knows that in the process of sowing, some seed is going to fall into places that simply will not thrive. But that knowledge doesn't keep the farmer from sowing the seed, doesn't prevent the farmer from expecting a great harvest. Farming is risky business. Besides the physical work, it takes a lot of trust and hope and prayer. God is willing to risk with us. God deals with us even more generously than the best farmer with his precious seed. God allows seed to land on the hard paths and the rocky ground and the weeds of our lives, in the hope that in those places it will sprout and grow and produce fruit, in the hope that those things that impede growth will be removed, in the hope that the soil might be a little bit deeper than it appears to be in those rocky places. The sower sows everywhere, knowing that he will end up with an abundant harvest. God doesn't judge the soil when he sows. He sows freely, with abandon. He sows generously and abundantly. All of our lessons today celebrate the good news that God is a God of abundance. The very existence of creation, of everything, us included, shows that God is the ultimate giver. He's given us life, giving it freely, abundantly, with abandon. Even in the midst of broken lives and broken dreams, We can experience this abundance. Even in the midst of exile and violence, the prophet Isaiah describes this abundant, generous God who awaits the fruit of the seed that has been sown. God knows that some of the seed will be snatched away, that some of it will grow up quickly and then wither, that some of it will grow up with weeds that will choke it out. And yet, God still sows. God still sows the seed in our lives, even knowing that some of that seed won't grow. The seed in the parable of the Word of God, the seed in the parable is the Word of God, the message about God's abundant love, about God's reign begun. But there's a surprising twist. Here's that part about the parable that makes it so interesting. The twist in this parable is that the seed is not only the Word of God, but the seed is the storyteller. Jesus is the seed. Jesus, the seed who came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, the seed who comes to us while we are yet sinners and gave his life for us. Jesus, the seed, who shows us how to love and invites us to risk following his lavish, abundant love. Jesus, the seed, who invites us to do crazy things like loving our enemies and blessing those who curse us and giving away our last cent, doing crazy things like making promises, baptizing babies. This is a seed that is planted deep in our hearts and wants to grow in our lives even when we think we are not good soil. Listen to the good news that God is pouring himself out in abundance on this earth, on the rocky ground and in places where thistles grow, on the pathways and on the good soil. And there will be an incredible harvest, a harvest so abundant that the sower will rejoice and celebrate. Listen to the good news that we do not have to hoard the seed that God has given to us. The word of God's love and care that we live will not be lost if we give it away as the sower gave away the seed freely, abundantly, and with abandon. There will be harvest, even though some of the seed will be lost. My word will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I propose and succeed in everything for which I sent it. God's word would not be lost. Let anyone with ears listen. God says to us today, you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come up a cypress. Instead of a briar should come up a myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord a memorial for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is God's promise to us today. It shall not be cut off. God is faithful to God's promise. God's purpose is accomplished by God's word, the word made flesh in Jesus Christ, so that the sick might be healed, the captive set free, the poor hear the good news. And it's happening. It's happening because of you. It's happening because and through what we do, through us. This is the promise of God fulfilled. This is the good news. God's love is sown freely, abundantly, and abandon when we let that happen in our own lives. May it grow a harvest in your hearts and produce a hundredfold. No, maybe Heidi had it right when she was flinging that bird seed all around with such zeal. It's like God's love for us, tossed freely, abundantly, and with abandon. Let everyone with ears listen. Amen.